Oh, come on. Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. We're going to have lots of energy. It's going to be full of life. It's going to be a little loud today. I already tell you in advance. So be excited about it. We are looking forward to sharing you about our experiences in Vermont that took place a little over a month ago. It's amazing that this much time has passed since the youth went that last week in July to Rutland, Vermont, and you're going to hear about their experiences, the people they met, the community they got to work in, the community that they got to become a part of. It was an exciting week, and so we look forward to sharing many of those stories over the next hour and a half. I will go ahead and tell you, the music's going to be a little more upbeat than we usually have on Sunday morning, and that's okay. If you feel like waving your hands in the air, clapping, tapping your feet, that's okay. It's part of worship, and that's what it's going to be about today. Before we get started with our worship time, a few things I do want to remind you of. Last week, we postponed the Senior Adult Luncheon. So our Senior Adult Luncheon is this Tuesday. Look forward to seeing many of you out there. If you have not signed up for that, it's not too late. Go ahead and put your name on the list today. Ulyss Wyrick will be coming to share about the MedAlert system and how that can play an important part in our senior adults' lives. So please sign up for that on Tuesday. I also want a message from Jerry this morning about the cleanup day that's coming up this Saturday. We need as many helpers as you can bring, right, Jerry? There is never enough volunteers. Now, what we'll be doing a lot on Saturday will be pressure washing around the church. If you have a pressure washer and you can bring that, please do so. Also, bring hoses with you. We want to make sure we have enough to tackle the tasks that we have signed up for Saturday. There is another cleanup day coming up the first weekend in October, so please make sure and mark that date in your calendar. I think that's October 7th, around that. October 7th will be another cleanup day, so if you can come and help and get preparation for homecoming, which is coming up on October 8th, please do so. I hope you grabbed a salmon color sheet as you came in. There's lots of other ministry opportunities coming up in the weeks ahead. Sunday night activities this not tonight for children, for youth, and for adults. I think the children are going to eat ice cream at 5 o'clock, so please, yeah, I'm excited about that. We had a lot of chaperone volunteers for that trip. I wonder why that was, right, Paula? Volunteering for the ice cream?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, lots of volunteers for, yeah. So lots of opportunities coming up in the weeks ahead. Please, please, please pay special attention to those. As we begin our time of worship this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer and thanking Him for His presence with us this day. Let's pray. Father God, we gather here this morning on a day of worship. Now, the order of worship and the style of worship is something different than we've done in the past, but that's okay because you are here. Father God, we give you thanks for your presence with us. I give you thanks for your presence with the Vermont mission team many weeks ago as he went to Rutland, Vermont. I give you thanks for the spirit that was in the midst of that week and the spirit that's carried through, not just here in Elon with our workers, our Vermont mission team, but also with the city of Rutland, Vermont, and how you were still moving and working there. Father God, I give you thanks this day for your presence and your push and your desire for us to constantly be active in your ministry. Father God, we lift this day up to you. I lift up our youth leaders to you this morning. May you speak through their words and experiences. We just lift this day to you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Please rise for our first song of praise, 10,000 Reasons.
Before me, let me
be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. Bless You,
everyone. I want to tell you a little bit about our site that we went to, Rutland, Vermont. It's about 700 long miles from here. And as in the case with Texas, where everything is larger, when you go to Vermont, everything is smaller. The town of Rutland is the third largest city in Vermont, and some folks have already told us it's the second largest city. And it's about as big as Graham. if you can imagine that. The largest city in Vermont is Burlington, and it's about the size of our Burlington. So they don't have very big towns in that very small state. Rutland, Vermont has seen better times. Years ago, they used to have a marble quarry there. And a few decades ago, it closed. And since then, the population's come down. So where they used to have about 20, 21,000 people there, they have about 15,000 people. So if you can imagine a community over time losing a quarter of its population, and they have a lot of problems that towns like this have. They have homelessness. They have increased poverty level, unemployment, opioid crisis like everywhere else in the nation it's dealing with. And in fact, when I talked with David about it, in his experience, he went up there 8 years ago, he said it was kind of depressing. And there's a lot of vacant storefronts, and it's just not a very, very great place. He wasn't excited about going back. But after he got there, he saw that the community had really pulled itself up by bootstraps. And YouthWorks is one of those things that really helps with the community. When you go places in the summer and you tell people you're with YouthWorks, they recognize who you are. And they're thankful that you're there because you're helping to improve the community. But, you know, one big difference there was the weather. We enjoyed some very nice, cool weather. While you guys were sweating to the oldies down here at 96, 98 degrees, we were enjoying days where it hit 78 one day. One day was 72. I think other days it probably didn't get out of 60s. We enjoyed nights where we slept with a window open and a fan, and it got down to 51 degrees one night. So you got under the covers. The one thing is up there, they have some moist summers, and we had a few mosquitoes, but thankfully there were screens in the windows at night. But Rutland, we were glad to be there, and the folks were glad to have us.
The place we stayed at was this church. It was up in Rutland. It was a really nice church. It's got a huge steeple, if you can tell, and really nice windows in the sanctuary. We did our studies in the afternoons that were in the gym that they had. We slept upstairs and downstairs all around the church, and we had one big pretty much cafeteria area where they would serve the food and we would go get it and stuff. And it was a really nice place, and glad that we were able to stay there.
We had some phenomenal YouthWorks leaders, and Hannah stuck out to me. She was from New Mexico. She was in a military school, and a lot, when we heard that, we thought maybe she might be a little strict, maybe a little stern, but she was the complete opposite, and she's probably the most outgoing person I've ever met in my life, and she had this weird obsession with sloths that she talked about nonstop the entire trip. And she made everyone feel loved and cared for, and she was a highlight of the week.
I'm going to talk about Jacob. His name's Jacob, but we did call him Jake. He was the site director. He's the big guy you see up here with a full beard. He was loved his beard. He would not sacrifice that beard for anything. He was very introverted. Jake is from Pennsylvania. He's in his second year at Bible College in Missouri. He felt his calling to work with the youth when he was a high school senior. He was like the behind-the-scenes person. He made sure all the activities flowed together. He arranged all the activities, arranged all the events, made sure our off-site showers were in working order and available. He worked. He's the one that worked with the adult leaders, and he was just all around a really good guy.
I'd like to tell you a little bit about Kinsey, the young lady there in the middle with the cap and the glasses. She was our worship leader for the week. So we would go in the evenings, and she would play this old piano, and she would make it just sound beautiful. She led us in song each evening and just was a good girl to be around. She's a student at Kansas State, and it had gotten to be a long summer for her. Our group was the next to the last group to come. And before we left that Friday, she made it a point to find me, and she gave me two handwritten letters that she had written for us. And the one that she wrote for the youth says this: "I can say I was not exactly excited for this week and spent a lot of time begging God to speed it along. However, now I wish I hadn't, because that's exactly what happened, and it was probably my favorite week of the entire summer." Y'all, because she's from out west, we taught her how to say y'all, were so incredibly kind to not only me, but all of us staff. You were willing to offer an extra hand when we needed it, and so anxious to serve. You guys got it, and were serving the Lord for all the right reasons. You are a perfect example to the other groups. I cannot explain how incredibly grateful that you all came to Rutland and the profound impact you had on me. You taught me how to worship and serve the Lord and His people more perfectly. And one of the neat things that David does every time we go on a mission trip is he gets to know the kids before we go. And we take gift baskets to them as a thank you for giving their summers. And that just means the world to these kids that are serving and giving up their time. She says, "Thank you all for the cards and basket. They both made my week, especially the Kansas State hat. Please know that I'll be praying for you all and wish you all the best of luck with your studies and pursuing God's plan for you. Please also know y'all have a forever friend in Christ." And that was from Kinsey. So I think that her words speak volumes.
Sean is the one sitting next to Jacob up there, and he's from Michigan. He goes to a smaller college there who has a really good hockey team, so he's a big hockey fan. And he was the coordinator of the event, so he was really behind the scenes, so we didn't see him all too much, but he would come out to work sites whenever he could. And he was a bit introverted, but once you got to know him, he really opened up and he was really cool.
One of the youth groups we worked with was First Presbyterian Church in Springfield, Pennsylvania. They were like a mix of middle school and high schoolers.
They're a really hardworking group, and we really got along with them well. They had good attitudes towards the work we were doing, and that made it really easy to work with them. So.
The other group was Wilmington United Methodist Church in Wilmington, Massachusetts. They go to Rutland, Vermont every year, and then they also do mission trips every year. They actually separate their middle schoolers and high school groups because they do different trips if they want to do different trips. The middle schoolers decided to come back again, and they were very hardworking at what they were doing, and then also their team leaders was also trying to motivate them, and if they see them their middle schoolers slacking off, they would yell at them to motivate them better so then they can do better at what they're doing.
So close. Yeah, you can wait right here if you want.
I'm sorry.
We're here to talk about the YouthWorks club thing, the good life. Pretty much the theme of the whole week, I think, was to look at how you're leading your life and how God and Jesus has taught us what do we really need to lead a good life, not what is out there, not to be deceived by or misled, but what is really out there and what is perceived to be the good life. There is a difference. So every morning and evening, we would have scriptures focus in times of devotional to think about the topic of the day. And then in the evenings, we would do Yay Gods, talk about how, where we saw stuff that was related to the scripture. And either events or people, actions, things we saw, where we saw God in the community or in our lives or within our groups. Anything else?
Yeah, well, you can see up there the I came that they may have life and have it abundantly was the theme of the week. And of course, when we first get there, everybody gets one of these books. And you've got the morning sessions and the evening sessions. The morning, you have a quick introduction. They kind of hit you with the topic, and then they send you off to go find a quiet place in the church where you can sit down with the book, go through the questions and answer them, kind of reflect on that, and then hopefully through the course of the day as you're doing the work out on the sites, that's in the back of your mind as you're doing that.
All right, Claire, you're done.
Okay. Our first scripture focus during the week was a short history of good, and there are two passages, and the first one can be found in Psalms 139, 13 through 14. It says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Our second one is found in Romans 8, 28, and it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So now please stand for our second song of praise, "This is Amazing Grace."
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Truth and justice shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King that conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King that conquered the grave. amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my wrongs. You break down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Quick note, you'll notice our team name, Americone Dream. You'll also note as you go through other team names, Coco Loco, Fish Food, and Tonight Dough. If you aren't familiar with the Ben & Jerry's ice cream franchise, those are four names. There's actually, I think it was six teams, right? Not all of the teams had members from our group. And so, because as the home of Ben & Jerry's, they had selected names from their collection to be used for the team names. And we were, of course, Americone Dream.
So on the first day, we worked with Tom Moore. And due to weather, we couldn't go to our site. So we went to a park and we painted some benches. And then we also painted a shed that we didn't quite get to finish because of time. But we did get to bond a lot with the other youth group that was with us.
I will say the first day we were expected to go out and help somewhere else. And Mr. Moore, who is a great part of this community, you could tell he was involved in every piece and every aspect with the people. People would come up and talk with him about everything. But he was very involved. He had to, on the fly, find us a place to work that day because it was pouring down rain. It was very chilly. So for us to go into a park last minute and find paint and all the stuff to paint with was an incredible job in itself. So there were some very large mosquitoes. I will say I've never seen mosquitoes this big or in that amount that day. And they came into the bathrooms where we were painting and everywhere. So kind of an interesting day, but the park looked beautiful when we were done. The picnic tables were so much better than they were when we left them, so it really helped the community.
And on the second day, we also went to town of Brandon, and we went to this area that over the summer it flooded, and all the rocks from the river, you know, brushed up, and so we had to pick up the rocks and take it back to the river. And in 4 hours, we did 106 wheelbarrows full of rocks.
Yeah, you see the picture in the lower left, that mound that we're standing on, that's what we built.
And the pictures don't do justice. We didn't, because it was kind of rainy and questionable, we don't have a whole lot of pictures, but the actual flash flood that had come through took the entire river and just pulled it over top of a road. We actually ate lunch at one of the elementary schools, and it was, what, a quarter mile away? It took us over 3 miles to get there because the road had been closed. We had to go around to get to it. So the amount of devastation here was just phenomenal. This was just a small part of it.
So on the third day, we went to this little lady's house. Her name is Nancy. She was super sweet, and she couldn't really take care of her yard at the time that she was at because she was in kind of poor health, and it was a really nice house, and she had lots of gardens scattered around, and because of that, lots of weeds started to grow, and she couldn't take care of them, and so we came in, and we basically just helped weed around the gardens, and some of them, they're like about my height, so they're kind of big, and it was actually kind of fun seeing how the house turned out when we were done weeding. So it was a really pretty house.
These folks are actually former members of the church, so not just helping the community, helping their church as well. And she's not lying. Some of the weeds were taller than us. And the other John, we had two Johns working with us. We had John and the other John. The other John was very tall, and some of these weeds were his because they were much taller than him.
On the fourth day, we had to move two big piles of sticks that a lady wanted to burn, but they were too close to the house, and she wanted to burn them so she could have a view of the mountain so she could sell her house.
And I wish we had a picture to show you. When we got there, the mother in me came out, and I'm looking at this big pile going, this is not really safe for our children. They were clearing land so they could sell their house. Nothing but trees, and they cleared this land, and it was a beautiful view. Beautiful. But in the process, they had piles that were taller than all of us, and we climbed to the top of this pile, and we would throw stuff off, and we basically just moved one a little bit further away from the house. But it was a huge, huge feat. I'm so proud of the work that they did and the other team did. John deserted us on that day. But that's okay. I think he worked himself very hard at the other place, too.
They had it done by the time I got back. So.
Yes.
Scripture focus on focus number two, the way to the good life is John 7:37 through 8 and John 14:6. The first one says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from the within him. And the second one John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes into the Father except through me.
Your team, Coco Loco, I do want to recognize three team members who were unable to be here with us today due to prior obligations: Ethan Reinheimer, Savannah Lupo, and Andrew McKee. And we're going to talk about the sites that we worked and visited during our time there in Vermont. I'm going to speak of Mountain View Nursing Home, which was a nursing home, and the Loretta Home, which is for like an assisted living facility. And when we went into the nursing home, it just gave us so much perspective, and it was just very rewarding what we did there. We related with the residents there. We literally played ball with them for an hour and a half. All we were doing was just tossing the ball from one person to another. And it was like they so thoroughly enjoyed that, and they just did not have a concept of time. I think they could have done that all day long. It just brought, you could see the joy that it brought to them, just us being there, talking to them, and just having that interaction with them. There was one resident that particularly spoke to all of our hearts. His name was Craig. He was blind, but he had his own little garden there. And by the touch, he could touch each plant, and he knew what plant that was, and he could tell you what it was. And he knew that if one was moved, he knew right where to go and find it. But his mind was just all there. But he was there because of his blindness. And then we did go to the Loretta home. There we cleaned the gazebo. We didn't actually interact with the residents there, but we just spruced up around their facility. We removed all the patio furniture from the gazebo and cleaned it. We cleaned the porches and just beautified that a little more and got it clean so they could go out and actually enjoy it in a clean environment.
Okay. The next day, we went to Yoder Farms, and Yoder Farms is in Danbury, Vermont, and it is a community garden with hundreds of acres that has been running since 2009. There, we weeded potato plants, picked blueberries, and we just did some maintenance and cleaned up around the farm. They offer a wide selection of beans, corn, strawberries, apples, and blueberries. And I thought it was a very fun experience that we got to work really hard in an environment that meant so much to the community there. While we were there, we also had a lot of fun because we got to pick and eat the blueberries right off the bush. And so we would like sneak away for a little break to eat some blueberries and then go back to weeding. And so it was a lot of fun.
And then on the last day, on Thursday, we went to Borderman Hill Farm. It was an organic farm, so we had to pull all these weeds. And then we also, during our breaks, we got to play. They had three dogs, but two had to go to the vet because one of them was sick, which was the baby. And so they took the mom and the baby to the vet, and then so the dad stayed in. So we played with the dog most of the whole time because I actually had to stop pulling weeds, so I got to play with the dog a little bit more, but I got to watch everyone else do help. I try to help them, but I had to stop since I did start getting a rash, but I still had fun being there, and we got to play with the dog and learn more about the farm being like the organic and everything.
On the third day, our scripture focus was on the gatekeeper and the wolf. On John 10:10-14, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to full. I am a good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and I know the sheep and my sheep knows me. Our second verse was 1 Peter 2:21-25. To this you were called because Christ has suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and he has no dissent was found in his mouth. And when he hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to who judges justly. He himself, who bore no sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to the sin and live with righteousness. By his wounds you are healed, for you were like a shepherd, a sheep, who goes astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of the souls.
Please rise for our next song of praise, Chain Breaker.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice and the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking taker. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day and the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. He's a pain taker. You feel lost. He's a way maker. If you need freedom, save it. He's a prison shaking savior. You got chains. Oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. Believe it, you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, if you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker.
So the group that I was a part of was the fish food group. When we were breaking off into groups, they bring all the adults together and they say, your church is going to break off into four or five different groups. You need to break them down with the adult leaders, the youth, and all this stuff. So that's the first night we get there. And it's a little overwhelming because you've got two other youth groups that are having to do the same thing. You're trying to find out which group or which section of groups will work best with the projects that you're doing. Well, when they came to this group, they said, you need to put the oldest youth you have in this group. And I was like, why? Are we going to Pine Hills? And they said, exactly. The first 2 days, we go up in the trails of the mountains of Vermont, going to Pine Hill Trails. And so when we were breaking down the group, they said, put your oldest groups there. They are going to work extremely hard. They're going to want to complain, but you want to put people in the group that aren't going to complain. And you want to put people who have a motor that does not stop. So when I was thinking this, I was like, okay, this sounds like a great group. And so I said, well, first I'm going to put Michael Howard in this group. Because Michael has the ability to motivate people when they don't want to be motivated. If you ever hang out with Michael, you find that out. And then I put, all right, let's get all our seniors, and we're going to put all our seniors in this group, short of one. I think everybody here is a senior. Two juniors, and the rest seniors. So this is the group we put together. Two of our workers, Nate Mathewson and Emily Pritchard, who are off at ECU now in college, could not be with us. They did send their prayers this morning. And so we're going to share what we did each day with fish food. So.
Okay, so like you said, our first day we were at Pine Hill Trails. So we basically got up there and we're like, are we cleaning trails? What are we doing? They're like, no, you're going to make a trail. So
this bottom left picture is the trail we actually made. That was nothing when we got
there. Yeah, that's after that. The rocks, we all dug out. We all moved the rocks there. But they can tell you about the specific days.
So the first day we got up there and we're like, okay, let's build a trail. So me and David and Michael were on a rock sling, which is like, it's made out of like a sail for a boat, and you can put rocks on it and carry them. And we had to take them up to up the where the trail was going to be, you know, and they had, and then the girls put them all together in the, like a puzzle kind of.
And it was raining this whole day, the entire day.
It rained all day.
We were slipping in mud.
It was fun and interesting. But the rain kept the mosquitoes down.
Yeah.
So it did.
For the first day.
For the first day. First day.
Yeah, whatever. I saw you spraying on the bug spray.
Yeah, the second day it wasn't raining, and the mosquitoes were terrible. You would put on a bunch of bug spray, and they'd just keep eating you. But we didn't have to carry as many heavy rocks that day. We just used shovels, and we dug pits and filled buckets up with like smaller rocks, and we just carried them down, and the trail came together that day, and you actually saw what you were doing. It was pretty cool.
Go ahead, Mike.
This bottom right picture does no justice unless you actually see the photo. I forget that's after day one or day two.
Day one.
David's shirt was white. That, as you can tell, that is not white. That is how dirty, that is a good representation of how dirty we got. We were literally covered in mud and wet from just the rain hitting us. They broke us that day. We did not complain, and we were very dirty and exhausted. We were a sight and for many people to take pictures.
So day one and day two, we were at Pine Hill Trails. Day one was miserable. It was wet. It was cold. It was basically a mudslide to get up to where we were building this trail, and you're working with mud. So it was a cold, miserable day. Day two, rain was gone. Mosquitoes were awful. Emily Pritchard got stung by something. We're still not figuring out what it is. She got stung multiple times by something. That was a traumatic experience for her. So it was a fun 2 days. The best part about this is 8 years ago when I got to take the group, our youth group 8 years ago, I got to go to Pine Hill Trails, the same place we went to for this trip. And the cool thing was, is that we're walking up to the trails, we actually passed through the trails that 8 years ago we built with the other youth group. So it was awesome. The wall was still there. We built a nice wall. And I was telling the youth, hey guys, this is it. They're like, what are you talking about? We don't care. But I'm like, this is where we were 8 years ago. And the amazing thing is, 8 years ago or 10 years ago, when they go back and go to the trails, that trail that they built a couple weeks ago will still be there. It has a lasting impact. That's the powerful thing. So that was Monday and Tuesday. So we were exhausted, dog tired, exhausted after Tuesday, and we were thinking, we need something a little bit easier. So Wednesday we got to go to a farm, and we said, yes, farm, no trails, don't have to carry rocks. But we weeded, and we weeded, and we weeded, and I'm going to let Abby talk about that a little bit.
Okay. What David said, we pretty much finally got a break from that trail. When we got there, we learned a lot about the farm, and the farm was organic, and it was a huge family farm. And the Boardman Hill Farm, they supply different crops throughout all seasons, and they actually give out some of the crops that are produced well and good. And on that day, we pick up snap peas. Mm-hmm. Snap peas, easy, ate some, it was delicious. And then we moved to the weeding part. It was a lot of weeding, and I kind of remember something. My grandfather always threatened me that go weed the yard, and I finally weed a yard. So yeah, that was my experience.
Boardman Hill Farm is an organic farm in Vermont, just outside of Rutland, Vermont. A lot of the food that they pick at this farm, they take it to the farmer's market and sell it 3 or 4 times during the week. However, they also donate a large portion of their food to homeless shelters in the Rutland community. They donate them to a women's shelter, a senior center. So the food that we actually picked, when we were picking up snap peas, the two guys from the farm that are working with us, they were picking specifically to send this to a senior adult home who were teaching senior adults how to cook snap peas. So it was something that it wasn't just picking and throwing in a bucket. It was actually going somewhere. The best part about Wednesday when we were at Boardman Hill Farm was this. You see a picture, it's kind of a little bit hard to see. The top left, not the top one, right beside it. It is a long line, and you will see every poor person in our group on their hands and in their knees pulling out weeds. And we were like, well, what's the reason for this? Why is this? You know, let a weed grow. Found out, obviously, if anybody gardens, weeds take nutrients from the soil that goes to the beets that we're trying to grow. So we were pulling them out, and one thing they said is when you pull the weeds out, don't put them just right beside it because they'll regrow right beside it and do the same thing. So when we're taking them out, we're tossing weeds everywhere. It was hilarious. It was like a cartoon where kids throwing weeds everywhere. They're covered in dirt, and it was just a good break from Monday and Tuesday. One of the things that I thoroughly enjoyed, and I'll talk a little bit about this a little bit later, is the son of the owner of the farm is taking over the farm. It's a generational farm. It's been passed down for two generations. It's being passed to the third generation. And I got a chance to talk to this young man. He's 19 years old. I mean, he's just a year older than some of our youth. And his passion, his desire for sustainability in that area in the city of Rutland. He said, you know, when I growing up, one of the last things I wanted to do was to work on a farm. But now he says, I can't see myself doing anything else because I get to see how our farm helps the community of Rutland. And I'll talk a little bit more about him if I can remember his name. God bless you. I can't think of his name. But I'll share a little bit more about that a little bit later.
So next, we ended up going to the pregnancy center, which was not planned at first. We were supposed to go to a retirement home, but that plan fell through, so we had to call the site leaders, kind of scramble for where we're gonna go. So we ended up at First Step Pregnancy Center.
Yeah, the youth got divvied up. They had a fundraiser going on that following weekend, so it was really great and convenient for them to have us there. The girls were very creative, so they made signs for them. And one of the middle pictures here where you see a bunch of clothes, those are baby's clothes, and the boys who know nothing about baby's clothes had to go through and separate them all and make sure they were in the right sizing groups. And they were like, well, what are the sizes? What do I need to do? So I had to sit there and break it down for them, having had go through three children myself and explain it to them.
Once and we emphasize the boys know nothing about baby clothes and children's clothes. Yeah. And you can't emphasize nothing better than that. So it was a great group. The girls should have been in there, and they were making signs, and the boys were going through baby clothes. It was great.
Probably would have been much better. But well, while we had the youth all separated out everywhere, there was nothing else for me to kind of do, which is kind of great. I got a little bit of a break after working hard for 3 days. I got to talk to the lady that was running the place. I can't remember her name.
Mimi.
And got her just kind of give me a tour, break down what do you actually do here, so I got a better understanding and feel for her. She was very enthusiastic. She wants to help out, and she explained, went through the program, and how the women that come there that have needs can earn points towards getting discounted food or free food and baby clothes to help them along that have this need. And sometimes some of these women that come through here, they have videos, they counsel and guide them into their different options for what to do, whether they're a teenager that's like, how am I going to tell my parents that I'm pregnant, to a young woman or older woman that is pregnant and the man in her life has left her or something like that, or it was totally unexpected. She explained this all to me. She has such a serious drive and passion for this, and she actually reopened this center. It was there for a while and it was gone, and she was working another center up in, I think it was Burlington, and she came into this area and reopened this facility, and it's been a very... She's been a serious blessing to the women in that area. And sometimes the women that come in there, they come in for a short session and they just don't know what to do, and they wind up being there for 2 hours and they go back saying, you helped me so much, but she didn't do anything for them. Just the fact they were there, they listened, the women just needed someone to listen to them, and Mimi provided that for them. She's a great benefit and asset to that community in this particular area.
So the second half of the last day, we went to Meadowview Senior Center, and we were just able to walk around and talk with all the residents there. And we sat down and played the balloon game, which the other group did also. And you could just see how much joy it brought them, and they were really happy just to have someone to talk to and someone to visit with.
It was an awesome experience getting to know the elderly people at the center, and it meant the world to them for people to come. I think it was once a week, and for them to come and listen to their stories and talk to them and see how they were doing and take care of them. And we got to know this one elderly man named Edgar. And he had like three main hobbies. He liked to fish, he liked cookies, and he liked to hit people with a red balloon. And he mainly did the third one with me. But he was an awesome person, and it was great to get to know him, and it was just a humbling experience.
So the fourth scripture focus that we focused on was if like the good life was something that we only experience now or if it was something that lasted for forever. And what we did with these is we read two passages, and the first one was Mark 2:1-12. And in this it says, "A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralytic man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, 'Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, 'Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up, take your mat, and walk"? But that you may know, the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." And the second scripture that we read, it's a lot shorter, it is Matthew 6:10, and that one says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven."
Let us stand and sing "Greater" by Mercy Me.
Bring your tithe and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. And every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right. But that's alright, 'cause I hear a voice that calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world.
Grace says it doesn't matter, cause the cross already won the war.
He's greater, he's greater.
I'm learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and makes me love him more and more.
He's greater, he's greater.
That means I lose the battle. Grace says it doesn't matter, cause the cross already won the war.
He's greater, he's greater.
I'm learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and makes me love him more and more. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. In the world. In the world. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. Just means I lose the battle, grace says it doesn't matter. Already won the war.
He's greater, he's greater.
I'm learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and makes me love him more and more.
My God is greater than he who is living in the world.
You can be seated.
We come to this time of offertory. I'll ask our ushers to come forward. He'll be taking up our offering. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, I just ask that as we come to this time where we return a portion of the gifts that you have blessed us with, that may it go to continue your ministry, not just within these walls, but in this community and across this world. Father God, we give this offering to you this morning. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Calling all the messengers, calling all the messengers, calling all the messengers. We've been given a call, been forgiven, risen, we living to give them our all. Rise up from your past that's holding you down. This moment is all that matters, the future is now. How will the people know if we don't tell them? If we fail them, they stumbling in the dark, but the light is what we carry, yeah. Don't have to wonder your purpose or what you here for. Reflect his image and show the world what he cares for. And I know it's all right, 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 you know, and you know it's your lie, lie, lie. And we know the time's running out, can't wait around, cause yeah, calling all the messengers, calling all the messengers, calling all the messengers.
I'll be talking about the prayer partners and how much they meant for us. I had Judy, and she's just a wonderful lady. She's so nice to me, and every day they sent letters, and they prayed for us, and they sent little goods and stuff like that. And just knowing that someone is praying for you while you're out there doing hard work, it just really means a lot to us, and it just makes my day every time I read them.
Yes, we could not do this without prayer partners. It was so nice to be able to come in the evenings and get our little envelopes and read through our notes and just know that you all were here praying for us. Your words of encouragement, your prayers, your little gifts, they meant the world to us while we felt like we were a world away from you. At this time, if you served as a prayer partner to our team this summer, we ask that you stand so we can recognize you. Our team would like to give you a hand. So you can see, we're the Tonight Dough. And I want to thank David Durham for letting me take care of all these boys. We're going to tell you a little bit about what we did each day. We had different sites that we went to, and I have to say, these boys worked really hard.
Okay, on the first day, we went to the Meadowview
Senior Center. If you see in the bottom left-hand corner, we played the balloon volleyball game where you literally just pick up a fly swatter and a balloon and you just hit it around the table. And then after that, we just sat around and talked and got to know all the people, and a few stuck out, and I don't remember their names, but that was it.
And later that day, we went to Boardman Hill Farm. I think we were supposed to pick beans outside, and another group got to do that. You've already heard about Boardman Hill Farm a couple of times today. But we're the top middle pitcher there. We got to work in a greenhouse. And the owner there, Greg Cox, has been very instrumental with the farmer's market there in Vermont. It's actually a year-round farmer's market. He's been recognized a lot for his work over the years in sustainability and organic farming. And he actually offers internships and apprenticeships and sustainable farming and organic farming. There's a guy there from New York working alongside his son. And also, I got to use something I never used before. I'm from Caswell County, and when we used a hoe, it was like the chop-chop hoe. I got to use something called a stirrup hoe. Does anybody here know what a stirrup hoe is? I'd never seen one. I think it must be a northern invention. But it's a lot easier to use when the soil is soft. But we helped him weed inside the greenhouse. And the thing about it, talking to Greg was very interesting because it's just a lot of hardworking people up there who want to see their community thrive like we want to see our community thrive.
So we went to the farmer's market one day, and we were given the task to pick weeds out of a garden, and that was hard work, but it was really fun doing that because we got to talk to people who worked there, and we got to work alongside each other.
That afternoon at the farmer's market, we stacked bricks, like the top right picture. The first stack took us an hour, and the second one took us 10 minutes.
And why?
Because first one, we didn't know what we were doing. and the second one, we were all there.
Yeah. They were odd-shaped bricks, too. They got a donation. They've taken a pedestrian mall and torn up all the pavers and donated all these bricks, which is probably like hundreds of thousands. And they could sell them, but they have to pallet them up to be able to move them. So we went from rock piles to rock blocks, basically.
And so one of the things that we learned that afternoon was if we work smarter, we can get the job done more quickly. So there were some kids that were on top of the stack of bricks looking for the best ones. And when we would throw those down to other kids then who would take those to the stack where there were other kids waiting to stack them just right. So we learned teamwork that afternoon.
All right, and on the third day, we went to this lady's named Stacy's house, and she had two daughters and two foster kids and a dog, and she was just trying to like support all of them, and she had like a lot of stuff in her house she needed to move, so we like rearranged all her stuff and we put it down near the garage, and the garage was actually broken, so we had John come down and he helped us build the garage, which is the top left picture. So she now has a new garage she can use and lock to store stuff in. And also we landscaped the whole side of her house and we built like a little garden and put plants there. So it was really cool to like do that for her. And we went there the fourth day too for a little bit. So yeah.
She was so appreciative of that garage door. She said, "I didn't expect it to look this nice." And when we first started out, we didn't either, so we were so...
She looked at me, well, Sean looked at me and says, he gave me a drill and like two pieces of plywood, and I said, "Dude, I can't build a door out of this." I said, "But I know you can."
So that's when John Farnham came and joined our group.
So I went and drove and picked up John, and he's at this very nice house that they were members of the church, and they told you about earlier, and he said, "Dude, you take me away from paradise to go build a garage door." But we really appreciated his help, and I hope it's still standing.
I'm sure it is still standing because John helped us. The last place we went was on day four, and by this time of the week, we were very tired, but it was a beautiful home out in the countryside. It was a lady named Sherry, and Sherry didn't spend a whole lot of time with us, but what she wanted us to do was to paint her white picket fence, and it was a pretty white picket fence, but it had been worn and weathered. I guess, through the winters, and she just wanted it painted. So we all chipped in and we painted it, and it looked a whole lot better when we finished. But again, a teamwork, because nobody stood there and complained. Everybody picked up a brush and got the job done. And I think that's what we're called to do. Sometimes we don't know why we're to do what we're to do, but we need to do it. And when we do it, then we feel a greater sense of accomplishment. So again, I want to thank the boys for their hard work and their good attitudes and just their cooperation and willingness to work that week. So good job, guys. You too, Phil.
Okay, so for the evening activities, after we were done working in the evening, we went around the town of Rutland, and we just did like little things kind of for fun to like do them. So on the first night, we went to a rock climbing place, which that's you can see in the top left picture. So we did that, and then we were done. We went to Ben and Jerry's afterwards to eat ice cream.
On the second night, we went to walk around Rutland, and we saw a bunch of buildings with paintings on the side of them. Like, we saw Batman, and I got to ride in a Walmart shopping cart, but we didn't go to Walmart because David wouldn't let us.
So for the third night, we went to Branbury State Park, and most of the people stayed at this beach and swam, but me and my dad went to like a nature lodge and asked about some of the trails. And this lady said, there's a waterfall, like 1.5 miles or something. Not very far, but it was a trail that was almost vertical. It followed like a water pipe that went straight up the mountain. And so we got a group of people that went up there, and it was really awesome.
The last night we had a community cookout, and we went down to a local park and grilled burgers and hot dogs and played basketball, played on the playground, and we were able to interact with all the community members. And we had invited people that we had worked with throughout the week. So that was really cool to just sit down and talk with them and get to know more about them and what they do in the community. And it was really fun.
Well, this was my fourth mission trip with the youth group, and I graduated, so my last with the youth group, unfortunately. Well, I had started out this week with the expectation that I wanted this to be the best mission trip. And it was the best mission trip. But it kind of, in the middle of the week, it kind of dawned upon me that that should not be why I'm doing this. Because we're doing this to show God's love in the community and, you know, to help the community. And that's really what I got out of the week. I really enjoyed the places I went and the places I got to go and see that I wouldn't have had a chance to go to maybe in the future. But hopefully I'll be able to go back and see maybe the trail we went and did, or, you know, see what became of Rutland.
So this was my fourth and last mission trip, and I'm going to be very honest. I never thought I'd be in the same group with David ever again, and this was my second time. I'm usually a hardworking person, and I do the hard work. I'll do anything I gotta do, and expecting to be in David's group, I did a whole lot of work with the three triples, Ds, David, Daniel, and David. They are very hardworking, and they fill up the buckets to the top, and I had to carry two full buckets to the other side. And I recognize that this is kind of similar to my last Kentucky trip, where we make a path for other people to travel or to see through and not get lost. And after experiencing this mission trip, I have learned a lot.
and I want to go back and visit again and see how much have changed from maybe probably in 10, 20 years I'll go visit again, and we'll see where it goes.
So this was my very first missions trip, and I want to reiterate what we talked about, prayer partners. If you get that opportunity, I encourage you to take that opportunity, because that meant so much to me to have one or two notes a day encouraging me. The prayer partner I had knew what I was going through, and so I just found that to be very encouraging on a day-to-day basis. This was my first trip. I committed to going, but I'm going to tell you, every day I ask myself, I'm really going to do this. It just completely put me out of my comfort zone. I thought of every reason why not to go, but then I thought of course, the reason through God to go and do this. So it's the day to leave, putting my suitcases in the car, and I even tell Kaylin that day, I said, are we really going to do this? Yes. So I'm like, you know, I guess we are. Here we are. We're going. I was very nervous, very anxious. There were a lot of surprises along the way that I wasn't aware of that was going to happen, but it did. I got through it. It was just such a great, rewarding experience that I'm just so glad I look back on it and just so glad that I did go. The last night we were there, we had a special, powerful ceremony, and it was a foot washing ceremony. That's the first time I ever experienced anything like that. It's just full of raw emotion, and until you go through that, you just can't even relay to someone what it's about. But it was just so powerful to me that night, I made the choice then, yes, I will go on another one. This was my first one, and all the anticipation and anxiety I experienced of questioning myself week to week, am I really going to do this? That night, yes, I'm going to do this. And it was just that God gave me the strength and the words and the times that I needed his encouragement. I just prayed to him for guidance. He was there for me, and I got through that week, and I always cherish the experiences that we had. I had a wonderful group that I worked with, and on the first night we were there, it's just like David said, when you get there, there's just so much going on. This being my first one, I'm just trying to get from here to there, trying to get situated, trying to get to the leaders meeting, and the youth all made bags, and in those bags, youth and worship leaders and other adult leaders could put words of encouragement or prayers or words of praise in those bags. That night we got there, there was just so much going on. I didn't do one, but the girls in our church group, they made me one. And I didn't know that until the end of the week. They're like, did you see your bag? You've got stuff in it. Go check it. And that just meant the world to me to know that the girls of this church just thought so much of me that they did make me a bag, and they put those words of encouragement and prayers in there. We just have such a wonderful youth group, and I'm just so proud to be a part of it.
You've heard just a few of the stories and experiences that our mission trip team had in Vermont, and I encourage you to continue to ask the questions about what did you see? What did you experience? Because there's so many more stories we can't share just in one worship service this morning. About 9 months ago, when we decided on the location of where our mission trip would be this summer, I would be quite honest with you, I was disappointed. And I told the seniors that. I told them as they were deciding where to go, and they said, Rutland. I said, no, let's not go to Rutland. I've been there. I've done that. Let's not go back, because leaving Rutland 8 years ago, I saw a city that was dying. That was my experience as I pulled out 8 years ago from this trip. And I actually shared that with the adult leaders. You heard a little bit about that earlier. I said, I don't know how this is going to go. I expect to find a desolate town with businesses that were closed down, houses that were overrun with vines and weeds, bottles, littering. That's what I was expecting. But as we had crested the hill going into Rutland, and I don't remember who I was riding with. I may have been riding with John or Mike. I don't remember. And as we pulled over the top of the hill, I said, wow, this is not the Rutland I remember. There were new businesses. There was people on the corners. There were interactions between the communities. And I said, this is not what I remember from 8 years ago. This is completely different. And it reminded me that God works, and God works when we're not there. It doesn't require us to be there for God to continue to work. And that's what I saw. Because 8 years ago when I left this community, I saw a town that was dying. But as we left this community just a couple weeks ago, I saw a town that was revitalized. It was growing. And that's powerful. I encourage all our mission trip members to always return to the communities that you go to. And this was the first opportunity that I've had to do that. And it's amazing to see what God is doing, not just in that week, but in the past years. Every mission trip is different. I always have people say, well, how does this compare to your trip to Birmingham? Or how did this compare to your trip to Louisville? Or how did this compare to your trip to Savannah? I said, you can't compare mission trips, because God is working in mysterious and amazing ways everywhere that you go, and no two are the same. So what would I say about this trip? What's my reflections on Rutland 2017 is this. First, I am proud of our group. I am proud of our youth. We were the largest youth group that was there, one of the largest youth groups that had been there the entire summer. And as we arrived, we could see on the faces of the Youth Works leaders, the four, that they were exhausted, they were tired, and honestly, they were ready for the summer to be over. They had been there for 7 weeks, and they were ready to go home. We found out a little bit more about that as the days went on, but I'm proud about our group because all four of the leaders, as we left, said, your group allowed us to keep going and to finish this summer strong. They were energy that was absorbed by the Youth Works leaders. There was one of the leaders, specifically Kenzie, and Lisa shared a letter earlier. Kenzie was depressed. She was depressed. And she shared a little bit about it each day. But by the end of the week, it was no longer in the midst of that depression. It was talking about how God has used her this week and how she was ready to finish next week and ready to go home and share the stories at Kansas State. So this group, you need to be proud of, because they helped four college students make it through two more weeks in a town that was a long ways away from their home. So make sure you pat them on the back, because that's what they provided. Second thing that really sticks in my mind is mission trips are about relationships. It's about forming new relationships within our group, forming relationships with the other youth groups, forming relationships with the Youth Works leaders, but most importantly, forming relationships in the community. There were three individuals that I got to experience this time that really stick out in my head. We talked about one of them just a few minutes ago, Mimi at the First Steps Pregnancy Center. Mimi was someone who had returned to Rutland. She had been to Rutland before, she had moved away, and she was one of the few people that returned. And Mimi had a passion for helping young women who were going through pregnancy that did not plan it. Whether that was because of finances, socioeconomic status, family situations, whatever the case may be. And in her words, you could see the Spirit of Christ. She came there to be a beacon of light in that community. She returned to Rutland to do that. Unfortunately, we don't get to see many of those stories, but Mimi was a testimony to what is happening in the city of Rutland. We found out while we were there that the spiritual center of the world, and I'm telling the world, I'm not talking about the United States, the spiritual center of the world is a small town that's basically adjacent to Rutland. Notice I didn't say Christianity, not the Christian capital of the world, but the spiritual. We're talking about paganism. We're talking about satanic worship. We're talking about demonic forces. One of the towns next to Rutland is the center of the world for spirituality. And Mimi and First Baptist Rutland and the Youth Works leaders and the Boardman Hill Farm are all beacons of light in a dark place. It was amazing to see how God was working through these individuals. And it's not just there. It's here in our community. You've met those people. You can be that person. Mimi was number one. The second one was the son of the owner of Boardman Hill Farm. And for the life of me, I'm getting too old because it's one of those, he had the most unique name in the world. And I said, man, I will not forget that. And I forgot. I'm going to call him Dakota just because that's what's sticking in my head. But it's not his name. But Dakota was the son of this of the Boardman Hill Farm owner. He was in the process of transitioning the work at Boardman Hill Farm into Dakota's name. Dakota's 19 years old. And I was asking Dakota, I said, what do you do every day? He said, well, before the sun rises, I'm out in the farm. I start my work. I get about 3 hours of work in before I go to school. He was going to a community college in Rutland. He goes to classes Monday through Friday for about 4 hours. Then he comes back for home for lunch, works another 2 hours in the fields. Then he goes back to the community college in Rutland, takes more classes, then comes back to the farm and works 3 or 4 hours past the sun going down, and then he sleeps, and the next day he does the same thing. 19 years old. 19 years old. And he said, you know what? I didn't ever think I was going to grow up and be a farmer like my dad. He said, I didn't really want to do it. But now I see how important this farm is to the community. And he had passions about learning how to grow things in weather that's not necessarily positive for things to growing, using greenhouses, using solar panels to bring in heat and water to plants when it gets really cold up in Vermont to continue to grow. He was going to school to become a chemical engineer so he could go back to the farm and find out how he could become a better producer of farming. 19 years old. 19 years old. He's making a difference. And the last person that I experienced in Rutland was a gentleman by the name of Joe that I met in the parking lot of the Walmart in downtown Rutland. We dropped off the group at the First Steps Pregnancy Center. We had to find somewhere to park the big bus. So I ended up taking it to the Walmart and parking there. And as I pulled in, I saw a gentleman on the corner. He had a dog at his feet. He had a guitar in his hand, and he was playing the guitar. And people were stopping and throwing change in his hat and actually his guitar case. And I decided I just wanted to go over and find out who this gentleman was. This gentleman's name was Joe. He was about, I would say, he probably was 40 years old, but he looked like he was 70. Joe was a homeless man who had traveled all over the eastern part of the United States. And for some reason, he had felt drawn to the city of Rutland, Vermont. He said he had stayed in Rutland longer than he had ever stayed in anywhere else. He had been there for about a month. I asked Joe where he slept, and he said, it depends on the night. I asked Joe where he ate, and he said, it depends on how much money I get here playing the guitar. I asked Joe, I said, what is your future? What do you want to do? And he said, there's something here in Rutland that I just can't put my finger on, but I think this is where I'm supposed to be. And I told Joe who I was. I told Joe why I was there. And I said, maybe that reason that you're in Rutland, Vermont is because the light of Christ is right here in this community, and there's places where you can go. Joe quit playing the guitar. He started packing up his guitar, and I thought I'd offended him. That's okay. And he said, where are y'all staying? I said, up the road here at First Baptist Rutland. And he said, are they open most of the time? I said, I'm not real connected with the church, but the doors are always open. I said, I guarantee they're open on Sunday morning, and they have breakfast time on Sunday mornings before. And I said, that door will be open for you. And he said, that's good to know. Joe walked off, and I never saw Joe again. But God's love is attracting people to the city of Rutland. And this group, this youth group, is helping to shine that light so people can feel it. I pray for Joe. I pray for Dakota. I pray for Mimi. I pray for First Baptist Rutland. I pray for the city of Rutland. And I pray for our youth group that this experience won't be something that will go away, and they won't walk away from this trip like I did 8 years ago and say, that city is dying. But that city is living because the Spirit of Christ is there. And he's here as well. We don't have to go 700 miles away to see where God is working. The light is shining. We just have to become a part of it. And that's a challenge to each one of us because he's calling us to do that wherever you are. Let's stand as we close and sing our closing song of praise. I ask that you pray for Rutland. I ask that you pray for this group. I ask that you pray for our community, that same light can shine everywhere we go. I'm going to invite the youth group, the team members to come forward and kind of face the congregation as they sing. After we get done, please come and welcome them, greet them, ask more questions, and let's sing our closing song, I Have This Hope, by 10th Avenue North.
As I walk this great unknown, questions come and questions go. Was there purpose for the pain? Did I cry these tears in vain? I don't want to live in fear. I want to trust that you are near. Trust your grace can be seen in both triumph and tragedy. I have this hope in the depth of my soul. In the flood or the fire, you're with me and you won't let go. But sometimes my faith feels thin, like the night will never end. Will you catch every tear, or will you just leave me here? I have this hope in the depth of my soul. In the flood or the fire, you're with me and you won't let go. Yes, I have this hope in the depth of my soul.
Light with you wherever you go. Go in peace.